Alright, so we're continuing talking about raising children. Wow. It's I meant that to be the inside voice. Yes. Yeah, a lot of times I feel that same way. So that was probably a good comment to start with. This is hard work. We were talking about some of the Proverbs and Psalms and discipline last week. So do y'all have any other Proverbs that y'all like that you would like for us to cover, or other scripture that you think about when you think of discipline? In Hebrews 12:11, in Hebrews 12:11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Alright. When you read that, how do we think about that? How do we apply that to the raising of children? Well, we all need it, unfortunately. Yes. But in applying this to children, I think that's right. You know, you do something at the beginning to help something that happens later. Right? Did you all have the friends in like elementary school? We didn't talk about it much after that. But, that just could do whatever they wanted. How are they doing today? Most of them are not doing too well. There's always the kid who will just turns out good because they have that strength of will. But some of those people I knew are dead. Drug deal gone bad. Fights in the parking lot that ended in death. And this, I grew up in Giddings. I mean, I didn't grow up in a rough place, but you know, they're, you know, the ones that just had nothing at home that did that. So discipline is to reap the fruitful peace of righteousness. It's for peace, right? And we talked about that a little bit. If you take care of it when it's small and whatever discipline issue you have, if you keep on, it's going to be a much more peaceful life. If you run around chasing your children, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I told them not to. You know, that very whiny sound that parents can get, like they don't have any control over the world that they live in. They don't have any control over their home. The goal is not the discipline. The goal is to have that peaceful fruit of righteousness, right? Righteousness being right with God. You know, that's the goal, is that we're going to have this. We have to put in the work, right? A stitch in time saves nine, right? Have you ever heard that? If you have a seam unraveling, you know, I'm a seamstress, so I know a lot about this. And if it's unraveling, and if you sew that up with one, you know, stitch, then to prevent it unraveling. But if it unravels, then you've got to do all these stitches to put it back together. Weeding, right? I don't know about you, but I've built a lot of gardens, and man, they looked great for about 2 weeks, and then I got busy at work, and then wow, I'm sitting there chopping down sequoias in there trying to get to find the vegetables again or the flowers or whatever. We know that we do that in the world, right? Mowing the lawn. I mean, if it's 3 feet high, it's going to take you forever to mow the lawn. If you do it like Neil Sperry says and take no more than one third of the leaf blade, then you're good, right? It works with children too. And our goal is righteousness. That is our goal. Yeah, it is too easy to let it go. And you're right, you got to take the time. If you're going to train your children the right way to clean their room, it's not when they're two and you like get in that room and when it's clean, you can come out. Ever tried that? I hope you didn't. Because that's really kind of silly. When they're two, you got to go pick up that toy, put it in the toy box. And the whole time, if you're like me, you're thinking, I could have done this 150,000 times faster than watching this two-year-old go pick up that toy. Oh, pick it up, put it in the toy. Please pick it up. Hook it up. Yes, now pick up that next one. Yes, we're going to do this over and over until all the toys are gone. Please, come on. I'm just going to do it. Right? But what happened? Then, when they're 15 and you tell them to clean their room, they still haven't been trained. Sometimes we test more than we teach. Now that's an interesting thing that we have any teachers in the room, that might be something that you talked about. We test our kids by saying, go clean your room. But did you ever teach your children to clean their room? We tell them to study their Bible, but did we teach them to study? Did we help them in all of these things? You've got to explain, you've got to show, you've got to work with, you've got to hold their hand through the process. You teach before you expect them to be able to do it. And so it takes a lot of time and training to do that. And we have to put the time in. And we have to have the effort. And we do it because we love them. And we see that good things can happen. And that's what it's all about. We want that peaceful fruit of righteousness. Yes. We choose our battles. Yes. Well, yes, choose your battles. Well, you know, I mean, they're gonna do things, so you just gotta fix the big things, the problems that they have. You gotta choose your, is it really worth? No. Are our children worth it? That's what we have to ask ourselves. And if they're not worth it, then you've got a lot of problems and you need to pray to God, you need help, you might need a break, you might need something, because our children are worth it. And we have to, unfortunately, go through every battle. Because, and we give up, and we shouldn't give up on our children. Yes. There are a lot of battles, but we can hopefully, through positive reinforcement, through giving them positive things, like the lesson that he gave a few months ago, maybe, you know, the house, the demon was cast out of the house, and then the demons came and saw it was swept and clean and empty, and they gotta fill that house with good things to do. We gotta give them good activities. You tell your 2-year-old, sit over there and don't get in anything. How is that gonna work out? Right? And so we give them something that's constructive, something that's positive that they can do. It's very important. Yeah. Well, and that is important. Yeah. Well, yeah, there are some things that are just dangerous, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, our rule was you always discipline for safety and attitude. Those are the two things that can not be compromised on. Right? Danger and attitude. Why is attitude? Why did I add that? That's the why. That's, I mean, the way we approach things, the way we approach our job, the way we approach our marriage, the way we approach our children, the way we approach anything, that attitude changes everything. And we are supposed to love God with what? Heart. That's our attitude. All of these things, but the heart is very important. Yes. Right. Jesus says all of our actions spring from the heart, and so we need to train the heart to do that. Mm-hmm. Yes, the goal is for them to be obedient to God. I think we should have humility as parents, and that's going to help us do a better job. And really, when you get down to it, there are a lot of times that in my heart, in my head, I know, or I have this thing, saying you're not that important. You know, why is it so important for your kid to have to listen to everything you say? I feel that way a lot of times. It's like, why, you know, especially when they're little, because it's just like, no, 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 you know. And you're like, but then it comes back to that. We train them to obey us, not because we're so amazing, but that's what God has asked them to do, is to obey their parents. The goal is not obedience to parents only. The goal is obedience to God. And in between us and God is the worldly authorities that they have to deal with. If you see people that get in trouble, there's a guy in Giddings, and he's a pretty nice guy. You know, people would say he's got a good heart is what they would say, but he gets in trouble all the time. He got in a fight at one place, the police or his friends, because he's kind of a nice guy, they put him in the front seat of the police car that they're not supposed to. He kicks out the front windshield. And they're like, now I'm going to get in trouble because I should have put you in the back. Why did you do that? I don't know. It was just, you know, he has a problem with authority. Everything, all of his life has been horrible. He's not a person who tries to go out and do evil things, but if you tell him what to do, he does the opposite. He can't handle authority at all. and his life is miserable because nobody can tell him what to do. If you were stopped on the side of the road, he will stop and change your tire for you. If you need money and he's got it, which he usually doesn't because bosses tell you what to do, he would give you everything in his pocket. If he had an extra vehicle, he would give it to you. But don't tell him what to do. What a sad existence. Because he wasn't trained to handle authority well. And you ask him, why'd you do that? I don't know, I just didn't like it. And you're like, well, okay, at 2, that's pretty annoying. At 40, you go to jail. And you spend a lot of time in jail. And he does, and it's sad. Yep. Oh no, it's beautiful. In fact, the same kind of thing happened. My nephew runs a organic juice bar in Oklahoma City, and he's having trouble finding people. I mean, $15 an hour, $16 an hour to work retail counter, people don't show up. And he said, but I finally found someone. They're 14, and he's homeschooled, and you know what? When I talk to him, he goes, yes sir, no sir, yes sir, no sir. And he's like, I don't even know anything about him, but I see him do that, and it's like, okay, I'm going to try him. He's 14, he can only work, you know, however many hours a week they're allowed to do it and all that, but he's like, he's hired. Because too many of these people come in, and they're like, well, whatever, you know. Yeah, I just want to die. Yeah, I'll work, I'll do whatever, you know. But it has that attitude. All right, so now let's think about teenagers. We've talked a lot about the two-year-old. What changes when we talk about teenagers? It's hard to put your foot down if you let it go on too long. True? What are teenagers told to do in regards to their parents? Still, it hasn't changed, has it? The 2-year-old is supposed to honor their father and mother, the 15-year-old, and if they're in the home, the 20-year-old are to respect their parents, right? I was teaching the middle school class, and I'm like, when does this stop? When do you get to stop obeying your parents? No, I said obey. I meant to say honor. When do you have to stop honoring? You don't. They are always to honor their parents. Always. So, when they're 15, they're 17, do we tolerate attitudes that are sinful? We shouldn't. Now, you know, a little harder to put the fear of God in the 6'3", 200-pound guy, right? But we have to figure it out. Manual labor is a great, great leveler. Yes, we got to realize that we hold all the cards. My brother said one time, he said, you know, I used to argue with my kids. You know what? That was silly. Why would I argue with my kids? I hold all the cards. Guess what? You have no phone, you have no car, you have no this, you have no that, you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have this, you don't have that. And now, when I think you're having a better attitude, we'll talk about you getting some of those things back, but you don't have anything, right? And we have to do that sometimes. We don't want to. I mean, this was yesterday. If you're a parent, you want to give your kids absolutely everything they want. We want them to be happy. We want to see them smile. We want that. But you know what I hope for you? I hope that you weren't able to give your kids everything they wanted. Because I've seen kids get everything they wanted. And they're, in general, not good kids. And they don't turn into good adults. But I hope you train them to be happy and content with less than everything that they could ever want. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, Mr. Hamm, would you read 15:4 through 6 of Matthew? Would you read 6 also? All right. So, this is Jesus talking about adults. Okay? He's talking about the Pharisees. And he says, God commanded you, honor your father and mother, whoever reviles father or mother. Have you heard kids talk back to their parents? We all have. Unfortunately, I think all kids have talked back to their parents at one time or another. Do we tolerate that? We shouldn't. What if they just kind of make fun of you and just make fun of you. Now, I mean, there's a little season that can be lighthearted, but I'm talking about just, well, you know, well, you always say that. You know, just kind of have a bad attitude. What's that? Yeah. We don't tolerate that. This is Jesus speaking here. Anyone that reviles their parents deserves to die. That's coming from the old law where the insubordinate child, more likely a teenager, or early 20s, if you did not honor your parents, you were taken out of the city and you were stoned. You did. Well, if you would have been nicer. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that that's how important this is. You know, we don't obviously do that. That's not what we're commanded to do. But this is important. And this dismissive, snotty attitude is what I call it. This can't be tolerated. We cannot tolerate it. It is sin. And we can't pretend that it's okay. Well, it's a phase they're going through. You ever heard that? I hope people don't say that anymore, but they were always saying it's a phase. No. It's sin. Let's take care of it. Yep. You can tell the roles that we play in our house. Tracy's a nice teacher and I'm the disciplinary. Yeah. We make a good team, right? But that is right. You know, we try to make the distinction between a wise person receives instruction, right? A fool despises correction, right? Have you ever seen someone going to do something dangerous? People are like, no, don't do that, right? The fool will go, whatever, you know? And we've got to do that. In the world of business, you know, when we go out into a job site, we have the tailgate safety meeting, the JSA, job safety analysis. We talk about all the things that could be dangerous and all of this and all the plans and mitigating procedures. And then we always say, if you see something unsafe, everyone here has the right to stop work. And the idea is that if you see something dangerous and you're a helper, you're the lowest man on the totem pole, say something so someone doesn't get hurt, right? And you can look at them and go, well, you're a helper, and then keep doing it, and someone can be hurt. But in life, we want our children to be the ones to listen to instruction to save their lives. If we continue on in this, if we do not honor our father and mother, we make void the word of God. What does make void mean? No avail? Do away with. Make it completely useless when we do not honor our father and mother. So, when we deal with teenagers, how do we train differently? Manual labor is a very good one, but what types of things do we think about? Yes, Shannon?
Yes.
Yeah, that happened to me once. I was 12. I said something to my mother. I got slapped, and I remember thinking, wow, I deserve that. Wow! It was just as clear as day. I could put you in the same spot at our house, everything. I remember that so clearly. Why did I say that? Wow! That was horrible. I'm still embarrassed by it. But yeah, we need to, now I'm not saying you should, the slap is the right thing, but I'm saying that there should be immediate consequences to a bad behavior. What are we hoping for our teenagers that we do not necessarily have much hope for with the smaller children? Yeah, there needs to be a lot more explanation. There needs to be a lot more understanding. We want them to see what they've done, to take ownership, take responsibility, and then try to make a plan that's different. It's very important as they get older, but especially in the teenage years, there needs to be a lot of why. There needs to be a lot of instruction. Yes. Yes, we want to be honest with our children, but can we still talk to them about things we struggle with? We need to. And so I think that that's another thing that the children need to see, our teenagers need to see, is that we do struggle with things, and we need to take ownership. We need to repent when we do things that are wrong, but even if I struggle with it and you struggle with it, doesn't mean that that behavior will be excused in either one of us. So yeah, it's much more that we need to do. Yes. Right. This is, comes up in, you know, when you're five, you don't, that's immodest, you don't wear it. When they're a teenager, guess what? Yeah, you don't wear that because it's immodest, because this is what God expects of us. Right? Modesty is one of those hard ones, because obviously the world is not modest. But if you are the head, the parents in the household, you do get to decide what your kids wear. Honestly. And I've heard too many teenage parents say that, well, you know, I mean, yeah, but if it's unacceptable, it's unacceptable. Just say no. Just say no. No. You can explain why, but there are some things that are unacceptable in our house. Right? We're not going to bring alcohol into our home. If we're not going to bring premarital sex into our home, if we're not going to do it, well, we can say, we say no to things. As parents, just no. You can't do that activity because of this. You can't wear that because of this. You can't, there are things that just we're not going to allow. And we can say that, and we have to say that, even when they're teenagers. Now, we should have a lot of explanation, a lot of training, but we still can say no. And if it's against God's word, we really need to say no. Because that's not, yes, Shannon. Right. And when they're in your home, then you have more control. But, you know, and my dad would be, even if you have a job and you can buy that, it's not in my house. Sorry. You know, even if you're 16 and you have a job and you buy some clothes that are inappropriate, well, you're still in my house, so no, you can't wear it. And, but we're picking on modesty, but it's the thought that while you're in your home, you are responsible for what happens in your home. When they move out, they're going to make decisions, and they're going to make bad decisions, they're going to make good decisions, and you help them as much as you can as an advisor, because we no longer are raising them. They're out in the world. But if you're paying money, make sure your money's not, well, because we're supposed to help. We're supposed to warn. You know, Ezekiel 3, be a watchman, warn. All of those things are very important. So, that's our thought that they are still, we are still responsible for things that go on in our house, and we will be called to account for what happens in our home, because we're the parents and we're in charge of the home. And fathers especially will be called to be leaders, and we'll be answered for that. We all have different children, and all children are different. We need to think that. But yes, I think it's amazing when we see parents. I think really any parent that stays consistent, that honors God and works to honor God in their family, no matter how their children turn out, are pretty amazing. Because it's a marathon. And if we work to always honor God, and we always wish that every kid would turn out just perfect little angels, that doesn't happen. They have, as Shannon said, their own choices, and they're going to make some bad ones, they're going to make some good ones, but we need to honor parents who work for that. So, a couple of things that I wanted to talk about, hopefully we can get through them, is we're training our teenagers to be functioning Christians within a congregation. And we need to start that by training. It's not going to accidentally happen. In other words, they're going to turn 18, move out, and then they're amazing assets to a congregation. And I'm not talking about just the public thing, or the, you know, teaching of classes or leading prayers, but I'm really talking about the fundamental attitudes of Christians. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, Mr. Dillard, would you read that? All right. This is something we should all be doing. As individual Christians, we should ask ourselves, are we showing brotherly affection? Are we outdoing one another with brotherly affection? Are we really working on this? Today, have you come, and one of the purposes of your coming today was to show this brotherly affection, this filial affection you and I should have for each other, everybody in this room. That is one of the things we're required to do. Then ask ourselves, am I teaching my teenagers to do this? Did your teenager come into this church building this morning and show honor? to the people they saw. And by honor, it's not, oh, great to see you, old bald-headed one thing, you know. No. It's, did they come up and, hey, how are you? Did they show interest? Did they talk? Did they help? Did they encourage? Did they do those things? Did you expect that of them? Did you train them to do that? Are you expecting, are you training? Do they get training in that? Do they have that work we put in it? We train them how to do that. This is important because this is what is required of Christians. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't only super Christians to do that. Every Christian is supposed to do that. Are we training our teenagers to do that? Too often we think of what happens in this church building is the leadership roles, and then guess what? We have a really bad view of Christianity. Only men can be Christians because they're the only ones who get up. If you do something for a couple hours a week, then you're a Christian. This is something that can happen every day in every way, and our teenagers need to be taught in this. It's not a spectator sport. I like that. Yeah, Christianity is not a spectator sport. Yes. Oh. We're all different people, and we all serve different functions. We all have different personalities, and we all have different things that are happening to us in life going along. Very true. I do think that the goal should be that we'd all find ways to encourage others. I think that's kind of the undergirding thing. But yes, we all are in different ways and in different places. And have different things we struggle with and things that are happening in our lives. But we need to have this goal. Yes. Mm-hmm. No. But it's something that we have to work to train and to help and to encourage and expect in whatever ways that we can. And I think that's something that today's society expects teenagers to be blah, tired, too cool, too this, to say hi to people. If that's the problem, you know, and there aren't other things, then yeah, that something needs to happen. It's hard when you are trying to be encouraging and, you know, hey, how are you? Fine. If that's just their attitude. Things can be going on, I understand. But in general, we need to be very careful about that. And now that we're older, I'll say it, we do understand it more. And we can help others understand it better. We need to think about that. In Galatians chapter, I think we're out of time. Yep. We'll continue on this a little bit later. Thank you.